Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today. So during the summer, one of the things that the girls had a go at was painting with acrylic paints on canvas. Now, I am by no means an artist, but I figured that before they painted on the canvas, they should sketch out their full picture on paper first, so they could adapt and improve prior to going on the canvas, and it would help them to see the big picture and less likely to make mistakes on canvas. So here is their finished articles. There we go. This is a nice beachy summer scene with some beach huts and an instruction to be happy. And this one is a winter scene, apparently, with the trees and this. Oh, it's upside down. It's a winter scene with the tree, with the Christmas tree, with the star on top and the ice bit and the snow. Yeah, you can see it, can't you? There we are. Put these down there. So they did a pretty good job, and they say that anyone who has any ambition of accomplishing something truly monumental, first and foremost, they need to have the big picture in clear view. When Michelangelo was commissioned in 1507 to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, he didn't just pick up his brush and begin painting. He labored for months over hundreds of sketches, color schemes, and themes before he even began setting the scaffolding up in place. 4 years Michelangelo painted while lying on his back, working meticulously on every detail until the chapel was completed. It has been said that one day Michelangelo was painting in an obscure corner of the chapel, and when he became frustrated at work with his work, he was so frustrated that he decided to blot out what he had done and start over. And one of the workers who was working in the chapel said, "Michelangelo, why do you worry over something nobody will ever know about?" And the great artist said to him, "Because I will know." It was the big picture that gave him the endurance, the stamina, and the vision necessary to complete the detail of his work with such determination and focus. Michelangelo had a plan, and he worked his plan until his death. And likewise, when Jesus prepared to leave his disciples, he gave his followers a plan that was much more than details. It was the big picture. Jesus told his followers in Matthew 28, "All authority and on in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus didn't tell them how to build the buildings they would meet in one day. He didn't insist that they would use one particular kind of music or certain musical instruments. He didn't spell out for them if they were to use the King James Version of the Bible or the New International Version. There were a lot of details that he could have instructed them on while he was visiting them for the last time on earth. But instead, he planted within their hearts the big picture of all the nations of the world becoming his disciples. The big picture is crucial if we want to make our mark in this world for the kingdom. It's not that the details are unimportant. They're very important. Jesus took time during the 3 years he lived with the disciples to instruct them on the little things of faith, the particulars of living in relationship to the Father that make a big difference. He taught them how to pray. He taught them what truly matters to God. And he showed them by the way he lived how a servant should be. Details are important, but details without the big picture can quench our spirit and wear us out. As Paul begins this letter of encouragement to the church in Colossae, he gives them the big picture. Paul lets them know that he's praying for nothing less than for them to possess the full knowledge of God's will and for them to be empowered by the might of Almighty God himself. What a prayer to pray. Paul doesn't begin by digging into the details of what he will share with them later on. He paints a very big picture of his hopes and his dreams and his prayer for the church. And the big picture that Paul wants to communicate with the people in Colossae is that he wants them to be experience the fullness of God. And he says that this big picture is captured where there's growth from gratitude. In verse 3 to 14, Paul shows us the big picture of gratitude and the big picture of growth. And this is what we're going to concentrate on this morning, as I believe that these big pictures, as they are determining factors in us having a fulfilling and strengthening walk with the Father, and that will touch the lives of those around us. So first, let's look at this big picture of gratitude. It's the beginning point of our walk with God. It's gratitude that enables us to maintain the right relationship with God and his family. Someone might ask, what do I have to be thankful for? First and foremost, you and I can be grateful that God has provided a way for our sins to be forgiven. The psalmist was well aware of the misery and despair that accompanies sin when he wrote, "It is you, O Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of our sins, O Lord, who could stand?" Sin will drive you from the depth of despair in your relationships. It will separate us from one another. And we experience its reality regularly in our relationships. The good news is this: God has provided a way for us to be forgiven in our sins and to begin to walk with him in the newness of life. The sole reason Jesus came to earth and lived among us was to restore us to God. Jesus gave us his mission statement in Mark's gospel when he said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Before Jesus was ever born, God's deep love for us caused him to prepare a perfect plan so that we could be forgiven and restored to him. It was God's perfect love for us that led Jesus to come to earth. It was God's perfect love for you and me that led Jesus to Calvary. We have much to be grateful for. Through Jesus, our sins are forgiven. We have the opportunity to have a meaningful, life-changing relationship with God, who loves us so. And from that, our gratitude can be expressed towards our brothers and sisters who are walking faithfully with the Father. Paul says to the Colossian church, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints." What a lovely thing to say. We give thanks to you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. You know, we need to express our gratitude to God for what he's done for us, but we also need to express our gratitude towards those among us who are demonstrating their faith in Christ and their love for God's family. Expressing gratitude to each other is important. People can be so quick to express their disappointment with one another these days. We are highly skilled at determining what is wrong with those around us, but we can be slow to pat someone on the back and let them know what a blessing they are to us and what a strong witness they are for the kingdom. Paul embraces the church from the beginning by letting them know that they are the focus of his prayers because of their faith in Jesus and their love for the saints. He writes in verse 6 and 7, "The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you." Wouldn't it be nice if someone said that to you? Wouldn't that make you feel uplifted? The believers in Colossae were looking ahead. They had set their sights on the future that God had promised them. God has promised a glorious future for those who walk obediently with him. And the Colossian church knew that they were to look to bless those around them and live in faithful obedience to God, no matter the cost. They were empowered to live this type of lifestyle because of their hope for the future. When I lose sight of the hope of heaven, then I'll focus on me and mine, and my love will be shown only to those who it's easy to love. Hope. One of my most favourite words. Hope. You know, you'll probably know by now I'm a big Downton Abbey fan. And one of the scenes in series 5, right at the end, is one of my favourite, where Mr. Carson, the butler, and Mrs. Hughes, the housekeeper, are walking along the pathway. And Mrs. Hughes expresses her sadness about the plight of two members of the staff. And she says, sorrow seems to shadow them both, and in its wake it shadows us. And then Mr. Carson responds, and what he says has kind of become one of my mottos for life. And it's beautiful. Not the first bit. It says, come now, Mrs. Hughes, this is not like you. And then he says this, take courage for their sake. We must always travel in hope. Take courage for their sake. We must always travel in hope. We must always travel in hope. You see, it is in the hope that enables us to continue to love the saints, even when we're not acting so saintly. It's the hope that causes us to continue to bless others, even when we're being cursed. It's the hope that causes us to bless God when our world is falling apart at the seams. It's the hope that gives us a vision, a big picture of a brighter day, someday. Hope. It reveals the big picture of gratitude. How's that for you this morning? When was the last time you told someone what a blessing they'd been to them? What a saint, what a great influence they've been to you in your Christian journey? When was the last time you thought about that and the gratitude that you want to show to them? And there's a second side to this big picture Paul shares with the believers in Colossae, the big picture of growth, which he writes about in verses 9 to 14. Earlier this year, we like to watch on the television this drama series, Serengeti. Don't know if any of you saw it. It was a wildlife kind of docu-soap, I think. And they followed little families of different animals. And the program makers, they named all these animals. So that's what made it become a bit of a drama. You wanted to know what happened to them after that. And they followed their daily life experiences. And it's interesting to watch how the parents teach their children what they need to do to survive, leading through all the potential hazards of life. You know, it's a great program to watch if you want a bit of perspective on life, because for them, every day was literally a fight for survival. It was a fight for their life every day. It's a good perspective for me. And I guess Paul must have felt like one of these parents. Here was this new church, just starting up, full of energy and enthusiasm, but hardly yet aware of the great dangers and problems that were being faced. And they were beginning to seep in. Different thoughts, different ideas and beliefs. And so he prays that the believers in Colossae would know the will of God for their lives, for their church, for their city in the world. Paul is praying, giving thanks for the church, but he's also praying that they would be full of the knowledge of the will of God. Paul says that he's asking God to fill the Colossians with knowledge of his will. We talk about knowing God's will in particular situations or for a decision that we need to make. But Paul wanted much more than that for the believers in Colossae. He wanted them to be filled to the brim with all the spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul wanted God to complete the knowledge of his will in their lives. Wow. In verses 10 to 14, Paul lists the characteristics that flow from lives which are full of the knowledge of God's will and empowered by his might. Being filled with the knowledge of God's will leads to some very specific actions on our part. We are filled with the knowledge of God's will. When we are filled with the knowledge of God's will, we live a life worthy of the Lord. But that's going to be hard to judge, hasn't it, really? I mean, if I was to take a survey of our congregation this morning and ask what it means to live a life worthy of the Lord, there would be probably quite different answers. But Paul outlines what this looks like in verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father. That's what it means. So live a life worthy of the Lord means that we'll bear fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we will grow in the knowledge of God. This knowledge is something to give us direction for living, to enable us to put our beliefs into action. So we'll see changes in the person who is living to please God, in their values and in their behaviors. Living a life worthy of the Lord is one that glorifies God in our daily life, in how we do our job, in how we treat our colleagues, in the messages we send and post, in the tactics we use and won't use to make a profit or to get our way, the way we handle our mistakes, the way we treat our families, and of course the way we respond to his direction in our lives. God doesn't want part of us. He wants it all. And when we've surrendered every corner of our hearts to him, then we'll live lives worthy of the Lord. We'll see the big picture. And Paul continues by saying that in order to live a life worthy of the Lord, you will be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Paul wants the believers to have their knowledge of God's will completed, but he also prays that they would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. A life that is marked by God's power is characterized by certain attributes, just as a life that is marked by the knowledge and understanding of who God is. Paul says that God's might at work in our lives will grant us great endurance, patience, and continuous thanksgiving offered to God with joy. God's might makes us able. Most people you know who are able to endure with patience and joyous thanksgiving are those who are filled with the knowledge of the will of God and his mighty power. God desires for us all to be filled with the knowledge of his will. He desires for us all to be empowered by his mighty power. He's willing to grant his knowledge and power to anyone who desires to possess it. What is your desire this morning? Do you desire a little bit of God, or do you desire to be completed, to be filled to overflowing, to see the big picture? Paul's prayer for the people of Colossae is a prayer from the heart of God. The big picture God is holding before us this morning is that we would find completeness and perfected power. What an incredible thought that is, to find completeness and perfect power. What is your desire this morning? Can you see the big picture? Do you know your part in it? Or has the fruit bearing, the growing in the knowledge of God and the thanksgiving got a bit stunted or stale? Well, we're going to have an opportunity now for us to refocus our attention on the big picture and the big man. Is it your desire to honor God, to live a life worthy of him, to give your all? There's a beautiful song in the songbook which says, "This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, every corner. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Enlighten my heart, be the guardian of my heart." Remember, we've just heard about that, prayed about that. "All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I live, give you my soul, and I live for you alone." Is that what you want? Is that your desire? Leslie's just going to play the music, and we're just going to have this time to focus on that picture of what we want. If we want indeed that big picture that God has to give, if we want indeed the fullness of his knowledge and wisdom in our lives, whoa, that's mind-blowing. That's an amazing thought to have that in our lives. Every day with the things that we face, the questions that we face, to have that knowledge and that wisdom of God. Wow. So in the quietness now, as the music plays, just spend some time refocusing on that. And then we'll sing this, because then hopefully that will be your desire, to honor you with all my heart in all the corners of my life. So let's just spend a few moments and then we'll sing this together. So will you join with me in this song? This is my desire. Is it your desire? Every corner of your heart to see the big picture, to live out that big picture. Let's sing it together. Gracious God, give us spiritual insight and understanding so that we would be able to see things from your point of view. May our words and action bring credit to your name and joy to your heart. May all that we do bear fruit for your kingdom, and may we come to know and love you more each day. Strengthen us with your power so that we would be able to joyfully endure whatever comes our way. And give thanks to you even in the midst of pain and suffering. Thank you for rescuing us from the power of darkness and bringing us into the glorious light of your kingdom. Our praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whom we have found redemption and forgiveness. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.